So we have a few subjects which we can, some short little reflections. So the first is some, it's based on some questions which people have asked. So based on that, some, they've requested to make some videos on that. So one is the most recent, which is the Nepal flood. And they have asked, this is a very interesting question actually. At one level it's strange. There's so many devotees went, so many people who were doing pujas, who have faith in God. So what happened? Why this happened? And the person who wrote went on to say, then what is the point of believing in God? So first of all, we should have our data very clear. So we'll say, nahi, data are there. No, the data is, data if you take from the long term, belief in God is no guarantee that you are safe to start with. And let's give some example. Who had greater belief in God? Ravan or the army of monkeys? The army of monkeys didn't know that Ram is God, incidentally, just few of them. But Ravan was a proper Shiv Bhakt. Ravan had actually, for the propagation of the Vedas, Ravan was a very prominent person. He remembered the shlokas and everything. Shri Ram, I mean, it's not documented, but most likely if people ask that, okay, let's have a competition on who can recite the Vedas better, probably Ravan would have come first. That was his knowledge of the Vedas. So what went wrong? Ravan should have been protected by, and he was a Shiv Bhakt. He used to offer his head. Sounds very fascinating. But why Ravan got defeated? So we must remember, that's why the law of karma, not the way we understand, we'll come to that in a moment. Well, you may be a believer or a non-believer. What you are within, that outside thee you shall enjoy. You may be a non-believer, but a person who is really inwardly very developed, it doesn't matter. I know personally people who don't believe in God, but they are very fine human beings. The people who believe in God, sometimes people ask that, you know, I am in a house where, you know, the parents are devotees, but this is how they behave. I said, being a devotee doesn't guarantee that you will be a wonderful person. Many times people are totally misled by this idea that the person is a devotee of the same. You may be devotee, but your nature remains. That's why Shurvindo insists, and I would say insists, and I would say insists, on the change of nature, transformation of nature. You may have experiences also. You'll meet many people who have had experiences, wonderful people, right? Sometimes they see different things. And leaving aside whether they had experiences are genuine or not, that aside, the bottom line is, how has it impacted your nature? If your nature hasn't changed, it makes no difference to anyone in the world. Okay, it enriches you. That's what Shobhita said. It enriches you. But the real thing is transformation of nature. So first thing, being a devotee is no guarantee, not even a proof that you are really connected with God. There are number of people who in Indian context, in the Western context, in Makkah, everywhere they go, but they go with bag full of desires. Their only relation with God is, I want this, you are an omnipotent agency, grant me this. And if it's not granted, they immediately jump to another God. That God becomes the worst, cruel fellow. So it's not that you're forming a relation with God. Again, we go to the other story in Mahabharata. Everybody is a believer. Duryodhana was a believer. Gandhari is herself a tapasvi. They have all done what they had to do. But at the end, what counted? What counted was, even when Arjun chooses Sri Krishna, he doesn't choose, oh, you are a god, you will protect me. He just loves him. Now, love overrides everything. Love for the divine is a different thing. But belief and non-belief is actually, in the largest working of the cosmos, is irrelevant. That's why we see that the law of karma precisely implies that. Law of karma doesn't say, if you have changed your name from Mr. So-and-so to this and those, you become a believer, therefore you will be saved. No. That may be a Semitic understanding, but not Indian understanding. You are what you are, what you have done, and again there, it's not just what you are doing. Your intent, your consciousness, which nobody knows except the divine. What you are within, that outside thee thou shalt enjoy. This is what Shubhito writes in one of his aphorisms. So this is where we have to understand. So was it a question of papa and punya? Again, no. This idea that people are punished because they died in a tragedy. First of all, I must be sure, as quote from Sri Aurobindo, that dying is a punishment. Or dying in an avalanche is a terrible thing to happen. It is terrible for those who have survived, who are relatives, who, you know, naturally they are attached. Being attached, they suffer. But if you ask me very frankly, I had written this article in when there was the Kedarnath tragedy where, Mandakini River had overflown, many people had died. I said, just imagine a person has gone to Shiva. Now this is a way of saying, okay, there is a tragic element, but look at it from a little more impersonal standpoint. Somebody has gone for a pilgrimage, thinking of Shiva or whatever. I am talking of a genuine person. There is a flood. Not that the flood came to drown. And a person loses his life. Instantly, there is maybe a few minutes of panic and then the person dies. Young, old, leave aside. He is on a trail to go to Shiva. Is that a worse death or a person who lives for 100 years and sees all his family members and everybody cheat him, deceive him or whatever, grow old, develop diseases? Is that a better death? It's very difficult sometimes to look at an event and say this is definitely worse. And then the third element, we have very little data. We don't know what's going on in each one's mind. We don't know what is the last moment. This I'm saying from a very pragmatic, lot of people I have, and I'll give an example of this, that the last moment during death is so important. And I am going to quote an example, quite a number of examples I know, during Kedarnath tragedy, who were saved literally with the waters rushing, and there were people who were not saved who drowned. So during the Upahar cinema tragedy, I don't know people know it or not, many of probably this generation may not connect. So there was, unfortunately, this, what was the movie, Border. And the first show, and a lot of people had gone, it was houseful. And suddenly there was a fire. And because of fire, there was carbon monoxide poisoning. And people wanted to run through the stairs or jump. But some thought, staying inside the hall, they will be safe. You never stay inside when there is a fire. I mean, you have to be very fortunate because carbon monoxide will kill you. So because of the carbon monoxide, which is one of the deadliest poisons, in my own cousin brother's family, there were 6 children. I know many instances. I had written an article on this. So out of these, 5 survived. So I had a direct opportunity to meet them and talk to them. They were all in All India Institute, all under intensive care, and I spoke to each one of them. It was very interesting, the gist I am just sharing. All of them were Krishna Bhakt. Now again, family were devotees. So I asked them, what was your, last moment? So all of them, with little variation here and there, they said, more or less, they felt they are going to die. Because carbon monoxide poisoning, plenty of, things start. Then last minute they said, not in so many words, but something like, I am going to die, let me remember Krishna. This thought came to the head. They all became unconscious thinking of Krishna. And they all survived. Now I am giving you number of instances like that, but this is a very direct. So what about the 6th one? She was also a devotee of Krishna. What was she doing? Last minute when these people heard, because they didn't know what's happening. Everybody was. But they heard her because I asked what was she in a state of there. She was shouting and crying for a child. Grown up child. Strangely, the child survived who was thinking of Krishna. And she died thinking of the child. So the Gita speaks of this. And there are a number of instances of this kind. Maybe sometimes extreme, like Ajamil adhamme na thi kya burai, magar maut ki jab ghadi uski aayi, to bete Narayan ko thirat lagai, turat khul gaye uske vaikunth dwaare. We have read about that in Bhagavad Katha. It's so important to remember that when you are faced with the inevitable, the only thing we should do is remember the divine. What we do instead, and Mother has written about it, it's not like this was destined, like this is something to be learned and ingrained into the system. People get projected outside. This also I know. I know a story of another person, plenty of stories actually, where the person was traveling in a car with someone, and he, when there was a truck coming in front, he made a gesture of, and this is very interesting because his son is telling him, "Dad, think of mother." But his approach was, there is a truck coming, "Oh my God." You know how people do? "Oh my God." And in that accident, the son is telling the dad, "Think of God, he survives, the son survives." He was driving the car and the father died. So mother says, in the face of danger, don't project. It's the way consciousness reacts. And how it will not react, and the Gita tells and gives an answer that you may say, okay, last minute. Shivindu says it doesn't work like that. It's what you have lived in your life. If you have learned to instantly go within and call the divine for help, help will come. In my life, many, many, many instances, I'm not even going into that, literally surviving. As if, you know, many instances where even once surrounded by some eight badmash, kunda, whatever. And me and my wife, it was, we just married in Shillong, so we had gone just for a stroll. And we were sitting in nice forest and suddenly there was a sense of uneasiness. Moon had come up and suddenly we saw these eight local people. And obviously they have their reasons, whatever it is. So what to be done? What is to be done? And plus they knew that I am from the Air Force, which made it doubly dangerous because they are looking out. So I told her, "You go this way and let me just go through in my own process." And she said, no. I said, "Just listen." So as she started going, she is the kind who will confront people. But I said, I just remained quiet instinctively. It was not that I was turned much towards Mother and Shivindu. I didn't know outwardly. And somehow, just I remember, the whole consciousness came up here. And it was like a state that time I had not turned to the Divine Mother. So it was like all here and there was no fear. This was obviously Mother's doing, which that time I didn't know. And I passed through them. They tried to block the way. I didn't get involved into anything. If they would block the way here, I would go this way. If they would block, I would go. Eventually, if something happened, they gave way. And I went through. No reaction. I went down the hill. Then they threw the sticks. So we knew the intention was clearly hostile. And one place where I was driving a scooter, and suddenly, in fact, two instances, one was a head-on collision with a 3-ton vehicle, means a proper truck. And suddenly, just when it's about to, scooter is about to smash, that time I had turned towards mother and suddenly ma starts and nothing happens, not even the scooter. And the other was very, very interesting. I was going on a scooter after my night duty in the hospital, and as I was going, I was in uniform. From the other side, an army truck was coming. And I, just before I, like, it has come really within the range, suddenly, for some reason, it was not like I was practicing some deep sadhana, my concentration came to the heart, and I started not hearing, but those words started springing up. "Be a witness, don't react. Be a witness, don't react." Now, be a witness to what? Well, a witness is a witness. Don't react to what? Nothing has happened. Don't react. Be a witness, don't react. And the next moment, the truck hit the scooter. The scooter fell. I was on the ground. This is going on. Be a witness, don't react. I got up because then I realized I'm supposed to. Actually, it came. I didn't realize anything. By then it was an army truck, so they saw me in uniform. They all stopped and sob. I took the scooter, those days kick scooter. It started. He was saying, "Sir, yahan wahan." I said, "Don't worry, everything is fine." Kicked the scooter, started, came on. Nothing happened. Threats by terrorists I have seen, But you have to be clear that that moment is very important. You may be a devotee, but if you have not practiced this, that whenever there is a challenge in life, even otherwise one should do. That's what Shivabinda says, that it's not a last minute edifying Christian death. There are jokes about it. Okay, I have initiated you, I have baptized you, now you will go to heaven. Nothing like that. He says it's something which should be inbuilt in you, in your life. And then yes, because the moment you get inside, you may be a devotee, non-devotee. This is a practice which everybody should do in times of crisis. Hundreds of examples I know, where you just go inside. A time comes when there is confusion all around. You don't know what to do in times of confusion. You just don't know. All your mental calculations have failed. You know that there is something or someone much greater. He can not only foresee, steer you through everything. And that's where the whole Kurukshetra battle is reminded. So you just call the divine. Doesn't matter. He knows everything. And he can take you out like this. One more last story about this. This I am saying, that this idea of devotee is this happened. Who is a devotee? Devotee is not somebody who is doing a Mansarovar Yatra. Let's start with very clearly. It is an inner Mansarovar you have to bathe. And if you are doing, your whole consciousness should be on the divine. Now, if you say that there is no real divine reality, it's all nothingness, then you are not really connected to the divine the way it should be. Then it's an impersonal truth. Impersonal reacts impersonally. Sri Aurobindo once spoke about it when a disciple asked about the concentration on the impersonal, or, you know, the guru as the impersonal. He said, if you do that, don't expect a response. That's exactly what the Gita says, that there are two paths people take. Path of tapasya, where you do some practices and you depend on that. There is no God as that reality which will take care of you. You do your tapasya, based on that you are progressing. The other is the path of surrender, which is what the Gita advocates, that there is a divine being. Okay, if you don't believe in, doesn't make a difference, but I have a logical understanding to it also, which I'll just share. But there is a divine being, and the whole creation is his child. What happens when a child calls the mother? That is the difference. Now people say, oh, that sounds very good, but divine as being, we have heard only of Brahman. Because we have not read the Gita, which speaks about beyond the Akshar, Shar and Akshar, it's Purushottama. Exactly same thing Sri Aurobindo says. And I have a very simple logic to it. If the divine is only an impersonal reality, not don't call divine, then you have to call Brahman, or just an impersonal reality, then how do you explain the emergence of personality? You cannot. Then you will end up saying it's Maya. Somehow. But the moment you say that divine has a personality, which is where Bhagavad is a very fascinating scripture, then what happens? My mind is a fragment of that mind. There is a divine mind. My intelligence is this very little chinna ray of particle of that cosmic or divine, even beyond cosmos, intelligence. Then my heart, human love, is nothing else but a little drop, very distorted drop, mixed drop of that divine love. The pleasure and pain are a very poor reflection, distorted reflection of the divine perfect, divine ananda. That's where transformation becomes possible. The whole Sri Aurobindo's thing about transformation is based on the divine as a person, as a personality. Otherwise, there is no logic. Otherwise, we have to say somehow it is emerging, somehow this Maya, and then, you know, whatever way you find it. So it depends on what is my connection with the divine. If the divine is nothingness, he will respond as if he doesn't exist. He is non-existent. Of course, that doesn't mean anything bad has happened. As I said, ultimately, when you fall to the ground, thinking of the name of God, that's what our scriptures again speak about war. In war, people die. There are movies made on that. Unfortunately, not very well made movie, Kiss. There are people who die young in a war. And in the Indian scriptures, it is said, and very true, that if you die in a war and you are remembering the divine, then your gates of the heaven open for you. We read that in Baji Prabhu. So is it a tragedy or a... So what happens? Why war? Because it's for a good cause. You are involved in a good cause. So you cannot compare somebody who genuinely is seeking the divine and going on the way and tragedy strikes him. Because he is going to reach, and that's what I'll sum it up with. You can imagine now without a doubt that for those who are left behind, it is tragic. Because attachment, all this comes, maybe some people were also sustained by someone, divine will take care in his own way and we all pray for that. But imagine a scenario where a person is going to meet Shiva via the Mansarovar and the waters come rushing and he drowns taking the name of Shiva. Does he not meet him? Do we really believe that Shiva will not take him up? Then where is the faith? Surely he will take care. And also, as an end, because again, lot of experiences of life I have seen involved with, partly because of the profession and this, I keep on, love to take that side of history. I have seen that when people have left the bodies in this state who had this kind of living faith in the divine, untimely death, there, strangely, those whom the person loved or was attached to, they are taken care of. Again, I mean, strange ways. And some people even acknowledge. They never felt that, you know, oh, he's gone. Now, divine has ways which are beyond our comprehension. So, end of the story is have faith in the divine. It doesn't matter. Life will not always be as I want it to be. It's not meant to be like that. And thank God it's not like that. Because we don't know. Some people say, oh, my heart is broken. I say, thank God. You don't know what would have happened if your heart were not made to Savitri, no? Want and weep and suffer. If everything worked well, maybe you would have been a happy man sitting like a couch potato or a happy woman busy cooking and all this. But who knows? So always we should remember that if we have a living faith in the divine, know him to be everywhere in everything, that's much more important, and such people are protected. Also, when we are in a group, we must understand that group dynamics are very different. So when you are in a group, imagine you are in a group. What happens in a group? People chit-chat. Some people even play cards. They are going for a tirtha. Lekin, jab pahunchenge, when we reach there, then we will see. Be very careful, because, I mean, I'm not saying these people did or that people did. So you have to understand that a group consciousness, if you mingle, if you join there, then what will be the fate will depend on the leader of the group. That too mother has said in ashram, there used to be someone's, a crane broke down. So she said, I congratulate the captain because he was in the right state of consciousness. Nothing happened to anybody. She didn't say my grace intervened like that. She said, because the captain was in the right state, a calamity which could have been much worse, nothing happened. So the role of the leaders is so important. Now with this background, rest we can understand, okay, we all know floods, it's the price man is paying for hyper-civilization, whether we call it, what is that, global warming or anything, it's the price we are seeing, like, you know, everywhere, without concern about nature. Nature has a way of telling us. For nature, why did, people are raising the question, why didn't flood come to China or India? Why did it come to Nepal? Nature doesn't operate like that. This also she has explained very beautifully. And there's a little story of Guru Nanak. There he explains it. So she says, you know, my child, when nature acts in very vast proportion. It doesn't say, oh, this person. Yes, if you are awake and turn toward the divine, you'll be protected. How, which way is a different story. But generally, when it strikes, it says, oh, wo bachcha hai, usko chhod do. Oh, he is married, let's not. Oh, he is young, what? Nothing. It's not that she is ruthless. She is on a spree, dancing spree. So what happens to those? She says, okay, I'll give new bodies. That's how nature works. Because she knows we are crying because we don't see the further fate. Nature, don't weep. He'll come in a new body. He would have forgotten. You will also forget. Just let it continue. So nature operates like that. Nature's operating system is very, very different. She bids us to grow vast. Also, through all these challenges, nature is trying to tell us something, remind us. So we'll say, oh, it's because Chinese, American and Indian companies. Are we conscious? I mean, ultimately, I can't change those companies, but I can be a little conscious about what I am doing about, you know, people sit in air conditions and speak about climate change. It doesn't work like that. Don't be a hypocrite. If you are really concerned, do your little thing. That's what Mother says, win your little victories. How much I am contributing to it? Can I do life without an air condition? Asking question. The poor people have no choice, but those who can afford. So if we really look at it, all of us are part of a whole system. We don't have to blame others, but we have to change ourselves. If I change myself, and that's what Mother says, that if you win your little victory, it helps in cascading. You don't have to become an activist, tell people do this, don't do this. It helps. A little victory, little greed, something, somewhere, 100 things. And the moment you do it, you have contributed, and there is a principle now, we know about it, morphogenetic resonance. It's where one rat conquers a puzzle out of 100 rats. It's an experiment which has been done. And if one rat solves it, everybody else is able to solve it much faster. It's actual studies. Say hundreds are trying to solve a complex puzzle, but that puzzle is like they enter, they have to come out of the maze. The moment they enter, you shut this entry. There is only one way you can come out. So they are going round and round, and it is taking long time. They are not able to do it. But the moment one does it, anywhere in the world, this study was done across the world. A rat unconnected. He found a way. So there is a deeper connectedness. And that's why in India, the way was yajna. Very often people ask, what is the point of doing yajna somewhere? Yajna literally means that. There are some people who are doing yajna. Yajna means that my life is not just for myself alone. Take care of yourself. But then there is a larger context of life. Yajna is about sacrifice in the real sense of the word. Now, each person who does that, engages in that, I'm talking of the inner yajna, outer yajna is a different thing altogether. But when you do that, it helps many others awaken to this inner reality. So this is the way, at least for the spiritual person. And as we all awaken, naturally people will awaken. I'm not saying through an activism, we'll take that subject just in a while. So ultimately, if we trace back to the tragedies, there are of course natural disasters, but many of them today are man-made disasters. And human beings have to understand this. Here comes the whole race and its responsibility. Otherwise, nature has its own way. That's what exactly. There's a very nice book where it says, you know, when mountains, when we make path and all that, then what do mountains do? He gave an example, and it's written by a doctor, Andrew Wales. So you must have seen, if there is a wound, what happens? The wound fills up. How does the wound fills up? From both sides, the skin comes. That's why you do stitching when the wound is very deep. If it's mild, skin will bridge it. Okay. Otherwise, you have to bridge the skin together. So, wound fills up. So, what we do when we wound a mountain? How does the mountain fill up? It sloughs. That's the only thing it knows. And whatever comes in the pathway of that sloughing goes. So Guru Nanak's story, last with which we'll stop, because we think we live too much in a sense of self-importance. Everybody starts talking, isko nahi bachaya usko, as if God's job description is only to save mankind. And what a mankind, if the lesser we speak, the better it is. Isn't his task also to save an ant? Of course. It's not just that he is, of course, mankind is something special because of its possibility. But the story goes that once Guru Nanak and his disciple, they are going. All spiritual people understand this fundamental truth. Otherwise, they all experience many things. I mean, daughter's marriage, Narsi Mehta, we know the story. Surdas is blind. Plenty of problems people go through. So as they are going, suddenly they are arrested by the then Mughals who had come in and put in a prison. So his disciple asks him, "Hamare sath aisa kyun? Why? Why? Why?" Asks original question. "Why me?" He says, "You are a saint. Why you and me? We are children, men of God." So he says, "You sleep. Morning I'll talk to you about it. Right now you sleep in the prison." So both sleep, but he can't sleep. He's thinking about. So next day morning he asks, "Why? Why? You tell us. Tell me." He says, "Very simple. I'll ask you a question. You slept. Did you notice how many ants were below your skin body when you slept?" He said, "No, I didn't notice at all because my mind was occupied with this question." He said, "Now you see how many ants have been killed." So he sees quite a number of, you know. He says, "It's not about Papa and Punya." He said a very beautiful thing. He said, "For nature, srishti ke liye, manushya usi ki tarah hai. For the vastness of nature, it's nothing else. It's like ant." He said, "Do you think that if I sleep, a little ant may get crushed and get destroyed? When nature acts, it acts like that." Same thing about larger movements of time. So this is how we have to understand these things rather than rush into conclusions, jump to, "Oh, people are devotees, God didn't save them." As if God has no other description, business, his job description we have given him, protect us under any, because we have a label of devotees. A true devotee is protected anywhere and everywhere. That has been the teaching and that we can experience in our own life. But the but is, a devotee is not somebody who simply puts a label that I am a devotee. A true devotee is very, very rare. So find that true devotee and you hear his story. They will tell you. Jai Maa.